Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's get those folks back in here. We're having church after all. It's not just donut time, church time. So welcome to Joy Church. We're glad you're here, and we are excited about what's going on here every Sunday, but especially this Sunday, because this Sunday is now, and Kathy's got a great message prepared for you with the final countdown being the theme, talking about the end days, the days to come. And did you know Jesus is coming back for us? Yeah. We got something to look forward to. No matter what kind of day you're having, you have something to look forward to because Jesus is coming back. Amen. All right, we have a couple of things besides that for you to look forward to. First of all, on the 27th of October, we're having a membership meeting. If you are not a member of Joy Church, you want more information about the church, our history, about our leadership, about our denomination, we invite you after church on the 27th to hang around and meet with us over in the other section there. We'll have a little bit of lunch, and we'll do all that, and then you have the option to become a member of Joy Church, but there is no pressure with that. It can just be an exploratory thing if you need more time to pray over that or to think about that. So that's when? October 27th, yes. And then on November 10th, we're doing water baptism. Yeah, we got one, yay. That's always an exciting time here at Joy Church, and we're definitely looking forward to that. We're going to be out in the river. We're going to be baptizing people. No, we won't be in the river, and we do have a heater, so we're good. Amen, right. So don't forget that, November 10th, and we have a sign-up sheet for that if you'd like to go ahead and sign up for that. It's right out in the lobby by the Connection Hub. Also, there's a sign-up for the membership class that is out in that same area, too, if you want to sign up for that so we know how much lunch to have. Kathy, you want to come up? I see you did work on your sermon this week. Yeah, for a few minutes anyway.
Yep,
so let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for Kathy this morning. I pray, Father, that she would speak the truth, God, that she would be your mouthpiece, that your Holy Spirit through her would speak to us and give us open ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Well, yes, we are in this deep and difficult at times series called The Final Countdown, therefore that song during community time. And sometimes when we preach a sermon, we start off with a joke, or we start off with a story or an illustration. And as I was preparing, I was thinking, oh, what goes here, what goes here? And I just decided, I don't feel like that's appropriate today. It's a serious message, and I think we should just get right to it. So that's what we're going to do. But first, I'm going to give you a recap like I have done for both the previous messages, or at least last one. We've heard and we're learning that there's a definite sequence of events, and it starts with what has already happened, the first coming of Jesus, where he came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He was fully man and he was fully God at the same time. He did miracles here on earth. He taught his disciples. He told them things that would happen, and then they happened. Prophecy. He was crucified, a horrific death on the cross. He took on all sin, past, present, and future. He suffered majorly. He died, and then God raised him from the dead 3 days later. That's what happened. That's considered the first coming of Jesus. Then there's the church age, and that is what we are living in right now. The time between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming of Jesus. We know he will come again, but he hasn't come yet. And as we live now during this church age, we're called to be ready. We're called to be prepared for the next important and pivotal event in God's timeline. And that is the rapture, where Jesus will gather his church. That's what our focus was last week. Jesus comes for his church. He snatches us up in the air with those who believed in him that have already died, and all of us living on earth who believe in him. And then after the rapture, there's going to be a period of 7 years, a period of great tribulation, and we are going to talk about that today. And I'm going to tell you up front, this might be your least favorite message in this whole sermon series. It's very, very hard what we're going to talk about, but it's important we understand what it is going to be like for those that are left behind. And then at the end of the tribulation, the second coming of Jesus takes place. He comes with his church, and we have the great millennium, the thousand-year reign here on earth, a great period of peace where we're all together with Jesus here on earth, and the best news during that time is that Satan is bound up. Then comes the great white throne judgment, where Satan, demons, fallen angels, unrepented sinners are eternally separated from God, and then the incredible new heaven and earth. So last week we talked about the rapture, where Jesus promises, and I want you to focus on that word, promise, to take all those who have died that believe in him, and those of us that are still living at that time, snatches us all up in just a moment, a twinkling of the eye, it says, into the air with him and with each other. And last week we just briefly touched on the fact that, yes, there will be people left behind. And actually, there will be a lot of people left behind. I want to stop here and just talk to you for a minute, acknowledging those of you that maybe are here for the very first time, or maybe you're listening to our live stream for the first time. If you are new to the Word of God, there may be a lot that we talk about today that you have questions about. It's very important, but it is a very heavy topic, a heavy series. I hope that you will be happy to know that we teach from the Word of God, directly from the Word of God. We believe it's written, the Bible was written by man, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. That it's God's gift to us here on earth so that we can get to know him more and more and understand what his promises are for us. If this is your first day at Joy Church, or you are just coming in the middle of this series, I want to encourage you so strongly to go and listen to the first two messages, because they build on one another. You can find us on YouTube at Joy Church NH, or you can go directly to our website, joychurchnh.com, and under sermons, you'll find them. And the other thing I want to say up front is, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. You're so important to him, and it's not a coincidence that you're here or listening today. So even though this may be a very difficult message for you as a first-timer, or even for those of you that are long-timers, I believe that you're going to hear his loving voice speaking to you today. Jesus has given us the warning about the tribulation, but some people haven't and will not take this warning seriously, and they will be left behind. They won't be raptured when Jesus comes. And there are many reasons for that. If you think of Noah, think about when he started building this huge and weird boat on dry land. I'm guessing his neighbors were laughing at him. Or Jeremiah, when he warned the people of Judah that unless they quit their evil lifestyle, the country would fall to the Babylonian army. And then Jeremiah was tied and thrown in jail, tossed down a well. People don't like hearing or believing that the worst will happen. Pessimism and optimism are really irrelevant in every situation where God's word has clearly spoken. The Bible warns, but it also graciously provides a way out, a way of escape. Today, people are provided with God's view, but bombarded with man's solutions. But as time moves forward, the tempo of the world events that are going to happen, they're going to provide this, I think, undeniable sense of impending crisis. Like, it's about to happen. That mindset is going to be there, and it's going to accelerate with speed. The warning signs are all around. Remember, I talked about this. Nothing has to happen for the rapture to occur. Nothing. It can come at any time. The signs that are outlined in the Bible are for when Jesus comes back the second time. And he comes back after the tribulation. So there will be this 7-year period, the 7 years between the rapture and his second coming, when he comes with his church, with all of us that were raptured with him and with those that have given their life to him during the tribulation. So the signs tell us that his coming is getting closer, and if his coming is getting closer, then the rapture is getting even more close, which means the tribulation. Does that make sense? Like, we don't know when the rapture is going to occur, but we see the signs for the second coming, and then we just back up from there. This 7-year period, the Great Tribulation, that's what we're talking about today. And some people call it the tribulation. Some people call it the Great Tribulation. Some people believe different things about the sequence of events, like I talked about in the first message. You might hear words like pre-trib, that's pre-tribulation, or post or even mid-trib. But based on what the Bible tells us, what we believe about all of the end time events is that the rapture comes first. Jesus comes in the air. No one sees him, like I told you last week, but he literally takes us up from this earth. All who believe in him, along with those who have died that have believed in him. And the reason is so he can rescue us from the tribulation, the horrific devastation that is coming. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. The 7-year period that we're talking about, that's called the tribulation, it starts immediately after the rapture. And it starts right here on this earth. So what is it? That's our focus today. What is it? And what will it be like for those who are left here on earth? Those who did not believe in Jesus, did not give their lives to him, that did not acknowledge him as Lord and Savior before the rapture occurs. And I can tell you, guys, from all of my studying, I can tell you 100%, absolutely for sure, you do not want to be here for that. You don't. It's going to be a brutal 7-year period filled with horrors, persecutions, natural disasters like we haven't seen, a political turmoil unlike anything we have experienced to this point. And you think it's bad. Massive, massive death tolls that will last this whole 7-year period. I had a really hard time with this. I'm having a hard time with all of them, but with this specific message, cutting it down because there's so much to learn and so much involved in this 7-year period. And I think so much that we really need to know and understand for us and for our loved ones. This is the time when God will pour out his judgment on the rebellious. Those that are left behind for the tribulation will see with their very own eyes the events that are happening. The moment after the rapture takes place, and remember, all the believers will have been removed. It will be like the removal of a dam. The world will be engulfed with evil and swamped with sin. And you might say, well, there's a whole lot of that right now, Kathy. Yes, I agree, but nothing compared to what it will be like during this period of tribulation. The book in the Bible called Revelation, the very last book of the Bible, in chapter 6 through 18, describes the tribulation period. That's a whole lot of that book. And we might not completely understand it, or maybe not even much of it at all at first. I certainly didn't, and I certainly don't pretend to, for sure. But we need to read it. We need to study it. Remember, Revelation 1:3 said, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. It's full of judgments. You'll hear about the scroll, which is the title deed to the earth. And it has seals, it has trumpets, it has bowls, all representing multiple phases of God's wrath. You'll read about riders on colored horses. We would be here for weeks studying each one of these. And I want to tell you again, I highly recommend this book, After the Rapture, by Dr. David Jeremiah. It is written so well and covers so much. If you're interested and want to go deeper, it's a really, really good book. We're going to read in Revelation about the war or the battle of Armageddon, which will be different from any war man has ever experienced in history. Supernatural events will occur that our minds cannot even start to comprehend. Jesus talks about the tribulation in Matthew 24, and in verse 21, I feel like he doesn't sugarcoat it at all. He says, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. It will be the worst days the earth has ever faced by far. And there's many verses in Matthew 24 where he tells us what will unfold in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation and how it will continually get worse. I'm going to read something from this book that, so based on the Matthew 24, there's a lot of D words. deception. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Dissension. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Devastation. There will be famines, disease, pestilences, disasters, earthquakes in various places. Death. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Disloyalty. Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Delusion. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. It should also be noted that part of the delusion will be an increase in drug use. One of the characteristics of the end times, false religion will be what the book of Revelation calls sorcerers. Defection. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. People will turn away from God and from one another. The word tribulation comes from a translated Greek word, phlipsis, which means designating the giant weight used to crush grain into flour. So this idea behind tribulation is utterly crushing, pulverizing, or grinding a substance into powder. It will be a time of terror and trouble. Some Bible scholars use the words affliction, persecution, trouble, suffering, misery, distress, or oppression. Think of any word you can think of that goes along in that category. That's what it will be. And nowhere in all of the Bible is there one word or description that says anything good about the tribulation period, other than it promises it will end after 7 years. Moses called it the day of their calamity, Deuteronomy 32:35. Zephaniah said it was the day of the Lord's anger, Zephaniah 2:2. Paul referred to it as the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. John called it the hour of trial, Revelation 3:10, and the hour of his judgment, Revelation 14:7. Daniel described it as a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. It's not a pretty picture at all. A quarter of the world's population will die from war, starvation, beastly predators. Giant earthquakes will destroy cities. Mountains will crash into the seas, killing a third of the fish. Tidal waves will sink a third of all the world's ships. Ashes and smoke will hide the sun and the moon. Again, think about 9/11 and the videos that we see showing the smoke. And maybe some of you have been, were there. And debris from when those trade centers collapsed. And that's nothing compared to what it will be. Swarms of demonic insects will darken the sun and inflict painful stings. Epidemic plagues will kill a quarter of all mankind. People will flee cities to hide in caves and under rocks. I don't even like standing here talking about all this. And I certainly don't want any of you, any of my family, any of my friends, any of you that are listening online left behind to endure during this time. But we have to talk about it. It gives us the reality of the urgency. Do you sense it? Do we feel the incredible gift God has given us and the gift that he expects us to share with others? He doesn't want anyone suffering. And we're here to be his hands and feet and to spread the good news and allow God to work through us to every person that we come in contact with. And again, we remember, Paul tells us, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And the day of the Lord is another term for the time of tribulation. And since the rapture comes first, Paul is telling us no one can know when the rapture is going to occur. And, you know, he uses that example of you don't know if somebody's going to come into your house as a burglar, as a thief. What else? Oh, wait, there's more. This is the time the Antichrist will rise to power. And this is a maniac person having so much power over people and using it so cruelly. He'll be more demonic than Hitler. And he will demand total allegiance to his satanic program. Those that resist will be barred from selling or buying food or any other product. And the thing about this person, this Antichrist, is he will totally oppose Jesus, yet he is going to pass himself off as Jesus. He's like Satan's Superman, who persecutes, tortures, kills people of God, the most despicable person ever to walk the earth. He'll be a charismatic leader, and it will look like he is running things, calling all the shots. And yet, just like right now, the hand of God is ruling and seeing everything that is happening. He, God, is still in control. The Antichrist takes life. Jesus gives life. The Antichrist is the man who would be God. Jesus is the God who became man. He took on humanity to die on the cross in your place, and he rose from the dead. He is Savior. He is Lord. He will give you eternal life and forgiveness if you call upon his name in faith. Now and during that tribulation period, if you are one that is left behind. Another very important piece to talk about is something we hear called the mark of the beast. It happens halfway through the tribulation, 3.5 years in. And the closest, now you're going to have to hear me out through this. Don't jump to conclusions in this. The closest that my mind can relate to this is the way things occurred with the COVID shot. This is not at all a message about whether you got it, whether you didn't, whether you believe it was good, whether you believe it was not. I'm just using it as an analogy. It's none of those things. I think that we all can agree that the world told us things, the government, about this vaccine and stopped us from being able to do things. Some people lost their job because they wouldn't get vaccinated. Some people couldn't go to arenas or places unless they showed proof that they got this vaccine. There was a control during that time over people like nothing we have ever experienced before. And so I say all that to say the mark of the beast will be like that, in the sense that if you're here, and you don't take the mark of the beast, you're going to struggle to survive. You'll be stopped from buying groceries, from conducting financial transactions like at the bank. And this mark that is going to be given will identify those people as worshipers of the beast. And the form and the nature of this mark, it remains a mystery until it's actually implemented at that time. But there's no mystery at all about the future of those who accept the mark. As long as the Antichrist maintains control, all that accept that mark will be well. All those who accept it. But their time of prosperity will be short, following swiftly by God's judgment. If you are listening to this message today and you don't give your life to Jesus before the rapture, and you are here left behind for the time of tribulation, you are going to see the worst days of your life on earth. But let me tell you, no matter what happens, don't take the mark. Refuse it. Despite the hardship that it is going to bring on your life during that time, because it literally means heaven or hell. You don't get another chance after that. It will make your life better during that time if you take the mark. And that's why many people, the Bible tells us, will take it. But then God's judgment will come, and those who take it will be separated from God forever. Revelation, you want to say, Kathy, where do you get all that? Revelation 14. I'm going to read you starting in verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, "Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts the mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name." Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And I think, in other words, as bad as it will be for you without taking the mark, if you refuse to take the mark and you are giving your life to Jesus at that time, it may be so bad for you that you die. But if you hold out, you're guaranteeing your eternity with Jesus. And if you take it, you are guaranteeing your separation and eternity in hell. People that are here during the tribulation will be in that position because they failed to accept Jesus as their Savior before the rapture. They neglected God's gracious offer of salvation through Jesus right now. And it's really bad news. Really bad news, because this 7-year tribulation period will be the most horrible time you have ever experienced. But the good news, if that's you, the good news for those is that there is still hope, that you can still choose your eternal destination. It won't remove you from going through the whole tribulation you're experiencing, but it will guarantee your eternity with Jesus. The book of Revelation also reveals that there's a great revival in the tribulation. Even in the darkest time of human history, Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost. And that is the best news. So there's way more, but I think we get the picture as much as we can. I don't know how you're feeling right now, but I want to tell you that as I was preparing this message, I literally had to get up from my computer every 5 to 15 minutes because it was so heavy. I could not sit and write and write and write about all this stuff. There was a heaviness that was sitting on me, knowing that I was going to come and talk to you about all this. My mind and my heart struggled so much. And let me tell you, preaching it isn't any easier than preparing it. And I told you at the beginning that many churches, many pastors stay away from talking about this stuff, about preaching about the end times, about looking at Revelation. And it's because the enemy is there getting in the way because he doesn't want us to know. He doesn't want us to know so that we can prepare, so that we can experience and feel the urgency, so that we will talk to other people and other people will be saved and prevented from being in that tribulation time. And he doesn't want us to know the end of the story where he's thrown into the lake of fire and tormented forever and ever. What is the purpose, you would ask? What's the purpose of the tribulation? This is horrible. Why is a loving God pouring out, allowing such wrath on the earth? And it's because of humanity's rebellion and sin. God's hand is heavily involved, just like it was when he brought the plagues on, you know, the rebellious nation of Egypt. We read about that in Exodus. It's really, really important that we all understand the tribulation is a planned, prophesied program and period designed to accomplish things. Two goals, I would say. The first purpose is to purge out from the Jewish people those who refuse to turn to Jesus and bring about the final conversion of the Jewish nation. Through the troubles of the time of tribulation, God will accomplish his purpose and bring a remnant of the Jewish people to trust in Jesus as their Messiah. The overall purpose of the tribulation is to execute God's wrath upon those who oppose him. First, the Jews who have rebelled, and then the rebellious Gentiles. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We like to talk about the love of God, but not so much about his wrath. But wrath goes hand in hand with judgment, and it's as much of a expression of God's goodness as his love is. So the purpose of the tribulation is to expose lost people, people that are unwilling to repent and to turn to Jesus, to the wrath of God. And God's wrath, it hardens some hearts and it softens others. It depends on how people respond to it. And during the tribulation, if you're still here and you're remembering this message right now, today, you can still choose at that time to let Jesus soften your heart. If Mike Murphy would come as we finish. We've seen a mass of hurricanes this year, devastating ones, really. Houses torn apart, people that have died. Houses that are built according to the specific building codes and areas of hurricanes, they tend to weather the storm. And the same thing is true for us. When we build our lives according to the divine building code, the firm foundation of Jesus, any other foundation will fail you. So people left behind during this time can still come to Jesus. God in his grace extends more time. That's what it's all about. That's why the rapture hasn't occurred yet. He's just giving more time and more time because he wants more people to come to him. As long as you are alive, there's hope. And as we stand on the brink of all these prophetic events, ask yourself, are you ready to meet Jesus? Today is the day to secure your eternity with him. We want to be part of the rapture, guys. Every one of us and all our families and friends, we don't want to be left behind and be here. We don't want to be part of the next phase called the tribulation. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Do you know him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you asked him to forgive your sins and to be your Lord and Savior? He always says yes. Today is the day of salvation. And if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, don't wait any longer. Take this free gift and assure your place in heaven and avoiding the tribulation. Would you bow your heads and pray with me today? If you felt your heart racing maybe, or kind of a little uneasiness, and you're like, I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, there hasn't been that specific point in time where you know you've surrendered your life to him. And as we're going through these messages, you have a sense of, I'm not sure where I stand. I want you to know for sure. You get to decide. And it's as easy as making a choice. I want to lead you. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer in a minute. And we're all going to pray together, because at Joy Church, we never have anybody feel like they're alone and pray alone. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you today. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I give you my life today. Thank you for saving me and allowing me to spend eternity with you. Amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed, all around the room, our eyes closed, no one looking around, just me. But if that's you, and you just prayed that prayer along with us for the first time, or even rededicated your life to Jesus, would you just raise your hand right now so I can see it? Nobody else is looking. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Those of you online, you can type it in the chat. You can just say yes, or I gave my life to Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for those who just gave their lives to you. Those here in this room, those online, I thank you, God, for forgiving their sins, for saving them, for empowering them to live their lives here on earth fully for you. And thank you that they will be with you now forever. God, I ask you to give them peace. Show them your goodness. Give them excitement as they begin this brand new and awesome life with you, Jesus. We love you so much, God. Amen. Amen. I want to close a little bit differently today, and I'm going to ask if you, our leader here at Joy Church, if you would come to the front and be available to pray for people. I want you to be able to come up and have prayer for anything, but if you're like me and you have family members, you have friends that you have already been praying for, or you're thinking about during this message that you want someone to stand alongside of you and pray for these people that they will accept Jesus, we're going to do that today. If you need prayer for a sickness, prayer for a heartache, a financial struggle, an addiction, anything, come up and somebody's going to stand with you, pray for you. You can give them as little or as much details as you would like. But when we stand together in prayer, there is a peace that God gives us, that he's got them. Our children, he's got them. So Mike's going to just play the keyboard quietly like that, and I'm just going to invite you to come up and receive prayer. And come back next week, because we're going to see the end of the tribulation period. Jesus comes again with his church to set up his glorious kingdom on earth. That great millennium period we're going to talk about, where we're here with Jesus and all the other believers.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.